Welcome to the Global Citizen Life podcast. Today on the show, we have Ruth. And thank you, Ruth, very much for joining us today.
It's a pleasure. Thank you for having me, Sally. It's a pleasure.
So, Ruth, you've lived in a few places. When you were younger, you have traveled back and forth between the Ivory Coast and France. And why is that? Was it like, I'm assuming your parents were involved with the reason of that, because obviously it was when you were a young child.
Absolutely. Yes, I was living in Ivory Coast with my mother up until the age of 7 years old. And then my dad decided to relocate me to France because he was going to be based in France for his work. So I followed him there with my half sister. And so between the ages of 7 and 13, during the school year, I would live in France. And during the summer with my father, and then during the summer, I would go back to my mother in Ivory Coast. Yeah.
That must have been quite an experience. What, like, I'm sure just lifestyle was very different between France and the Ivory Coast,
Yeah.
growing up.
Absolutely. Well, when I left the Ivory Coast, we were living in a small city in the center of the country, and it's everything I had ever known. So it was really sheltered with my mom and my older sister, my little brother. It was really sheltered. And then it felt like my world kind of expanded all of a sudden because I got to go through the capital city and discover the airport and discover that I had another half sister I was going to go live with. And then 7, 6 hours later, I was landing in Paris and going to live in a whole different city. Like, it was mind-blowing. It felt like I was living in a movie. And what's really striking to me, because it's all coming back, I remember that whenever I would come back to France, it would be the end of the summer, like, you know, end of August. So it would be warm and hot. But the atmosphere was so different. I always felt super cold, even though it was, I don't know, 29 or 30 degrees. But yeah, the experience was very different. It felt more in Ivory Coast, you don't live with just your nuclear family. So it's like the houses are always full. You never get an empty house. Never. That never happens. Because there's always this cousin from the village and this aunt and this nanny and this. So the house is always bustling with life, with energy, with people. And in France, it was a totally different experience because as we live in the Western world, it's like the nuclear family, the parents and the kids. So it was like, it was a very silent house with just me, my half sister and my dad, and then a stepmother who came to live with us with her daughter. And then everything was different. Like, I can't even tell you, like, the air feels different, the temperature feels different, the people feel different on the streets and everything. But I think it was very enriching because I was living in the suburbs of Paris. We were living, so the suburbs of Paris are not so nice. I know that in most parts of the world, the city center is to be avoided and the nicest parts are the suburbs. In France, specifically in Paris, it's kind of inverted. So where you want to be is in Paris, specifically in the center, and there are some suburbs you kind of want to avoid. That's where we're living. But we were living in a nicer area of that suburb, in a nice house, but being mixed with people from poor, bright backgrounds. So I had that. And I was going back to Ivory Coast to a mom who had her business. It was a different lifestyle. I would be with my cousin. And there was also this thing of, on one end, you're going to school, so it's not that fun. And on the other hand, you're just roaming around the neighborhood with your two besties, like your best cousins, all of that. So, yeah, I think it made me really adaptable and really sensitive to people, like their backgrounds, the way they speak. The accent is different.
Yes.
So it made me super adaptable in that way. I love it.
Did you ever feel out of place or that you didn't fit in because you were between these two very different lifestyles and kind of worlds in a sense?
That's a great question. And I did, of course, I did. Because when I arrived in France at the beginning, I had my Ivorian accent because it's everything I knew, like it's all I knew. So I had my accent. And I remember this scene where I was on the playground at school and I told someone, "Can you catch this for me?" And I said, it was a French word, but it's not quite how you would say it in French. And she was like, "What?" And I was like, "This is so clear to me. What is not working here?" So there would be that. And but that's changed quickly because when you're young, I can see this with my children, you adapt so fast. So I think my accent changed quite quickly and I started to fit in at the school. And then when I would go back to Ivory Coast, I had this uncle who would call me, "Oh, the Parisian. How are you, the Parisian? The French girl." And it's always that. And yeah, it's always been that way. And I went back recently, like last summer, we went back to Ivory Coast with my husband, my two kids. It was their first time. And I definitely felt out of place. It's not really home anymore, and France is not really home anymore. And but I don't necessarily feel like I don't belong. I feel like I belong with my family, with myself. But going back to Ivory Coast, I was like, oh, it feels so nice, but it's not home anymore. Right.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah,
But it's not
I can.
painful.
No, I can understand that. It's nice to have it. So you were back and forth when you were younger, then you did stay, you decided to then when you were, I would assume, like kind of finishing school, those the younger school years, you decided to stay in France instead of go back to the Ivory Coast.
Well, I went back to Ivory Coast when I was 13. I finished my secondary school and high school there. I did my
Okay.
A level there, my baccalauréat, as we say in French. And then to like for my university, my superior studies, I know it's not the exact term, but you know what I mean. I came back to France.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And then how long did you stay in France? You were doing, you kind of finished your studies there. Then how long did you stay? Because I know that you're not there now.
I'm not there now. That's very true. So we left France 4 years ago. So
Okay.
yeah, this is our fifth year. So I stayed there quite a while. 15 years? Yeah,
Okay.
15
Yeah, so
years,
yeah, quite
something
some
like
time.
that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Between my studies, my first job, my kids were born there. Yeah.
Okay. And so what made you move to Ireland, where you are at now? So that's,
Yeah.
I mean, France to Ireland, it's still quite different.
Yeah, it is. What made me move to Ireland, what made us move to Ireland is that it was a career change for me. It was a desire to change career and to also have a different lifestyle. Because living in Paris with two young kids, two full-time jobs, executive jobs. I quickly realized that it wasn't a life I really wanted to pursue because I would be gone for 10 hours a day and it seemed absurd to me to have two young kids and to see them 3 hours a day, 2 hours a day, and a little bit of the weekend between chores. It was absurd. So I wanted to change careers. And I went to business school and I wanted to pursue psychology. So I found a university that teaches remotely. And so, because I wanted to pursue that, my husband was like, "Oh, that's interesting. If you're studying remotely, you could be studying remotely from anywhere in the world." Yeah,
That's right.
that's true. Especially if we're expats, then it's just one income and the other one is not that needed. And so that's how we decided to move to Ireland. It was one of our top choices with Sweden, and Spain, because we lived in Spain when we were students. And Sweden and Ireland, it's because it's so green and there's so much kindness specifically towards children. And it's, yeah, the It's so green and the nature is so abundant. And after living, I think 10 years in Paris, we really wanted that for our
It's
family.
nice, yeah, and it's nice to have more of the laid back lifestyle. Because Paris, like many big cities, I've lived in Barcelona for years, and it's busy, go go go, like all of Spain. I mean, Barcelona isn't as bad as like Paris and New York and other major cities, but it is still quite busy, and it is nice, especially with younger kids, to have more time with them. I mean, that's the
Absolutely.
point of having kids, is so we raise them and not have other people raise them, whether they're nannies and going to daycares and all of that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So it is nice to have that
Yeah,
change.
absolutely. For us, it was, I mean, for me, it was perfect because I had, like, I salute anyone who's able to have that lifestyle to say, no, I'm okay with working 10 hours a day. It's fine. And then I'm happy. I actually respect that. Someone who's able to say, this works for me, more power to you. But it's just, it was really painful for me. So it wasn't a lifestyle I wanted for myself and my family. So yeah.
And that's understandable. I mean, everybody's different, and what everybody wants is different. And so
Absolutely.
we have to be honest with ourselves and what do we want? Because I know the lifestyle that I have is not for everyone. The lifestyle that some people, I have some great friends, and I just think I wouldn't want that lifestyle. One of my best friends, she has a great job. She goes to work, you know, Monday to Friday office. I'll say 9 to 5. There's sometimes it's more than that. And she gets her vacation when requested, time off. And I understand that's like a lot of people, but I couldn't live that lifestyle. I like to travel a lot. I like to have more freedom. But she says to me too, she says, you know, you work for yourself. Like you can make lots of money 1 month and maybe not so much the other. And you always have to get clients. She's like, that makes me too nervous. She's like, I wouldn't want to live like that. Like I know I go to work. I like my job. I like people. I get paid. I know what I'm making. Like, there's that stability with that. And so it's great. Like we're best friends and we do not want each other's lifestyles.
Exactly. That's perfect. The thing is, it's great that we each have our pulls and push, our desires, or ideal lifestyle. What you say is so true, is that do you know what you want? Do you know what works for you? And how can you make that happen for yourself? And then be happy for other people, right?
Yeah,
But just pursue your
absolutely.
own thing. That's so important, so major.
And so when you left France and moved to Ireland, how old were your children?
So my son was, he was 4, and my daughter was 18 months, so not 2 yet. So they
Okay.
were really little.
So really young and easy then to adapt with change, and it's okay. Probably we're a little bit happier to have mom home more.
That's true. That is very true. My daughter was easier. She adapted more easily because she was so young anyway. And she had me before the move because I stopped working a few months before moving. So I was with her all day at home and we were both loving it. And it was very easy for her because she was at a daycare like from 7 to 2 o'clock in Ireland, and she started, like, when they get this outburst of words and of language, and she had that for both languages at the same time, and it was amazing to see. It was really, really cute. But for my son, it was a bit harder because he was speaking really, really well for his age, and he doesn't really like to work for things. Like, he kind of follows his passions. So he, if he's really passionate about something, he's gonna absorb the material so easily. But if he's like, no, I'm good, it's not gonna stick with him. So at first, he had major resistance with English, and you could tell that he didn't see the point. He was like, I'm already speaking, so, like, we would have
Why do I need to learn
babysitters,
something different?
this is working. Like, I'm speaking. You can understand me, right? So why bother with this new thing? I'm doing my thing. I'm fine. So it was a bit harder for him. And then COVID hit, which didn't help with the language as well. But now they're really settled in, and we will have to move soon. So we'll see where we go and how they adapt in our next destination.
Okay, it'll be interesting. Do you have some thoughts in mind of where you may be relocating to?
We don't know yet. We don't know yet. We want to stay in Europe because our families are still in France. It's really important for my husband to be closer to his parents. It's weird to say that because they're so young and full of life, but he feels like they're aging, so he really wants to stay in Europe. So probably Europe, probably France, and then somewhere else in Europe, but we don't know yet. Big
Well,
surprise.
there's so many great places in Europe. Like I love Europe. I, you know, it's easy to travel around and to get a taste of different cultures. Yeah, it really is. I love being in Europe. I think it's
So
great.
what places have you explored in Europe? You mentioned Barcelona. What else? Where
Well,
else
I've
have you?
lived in Barcelona. I have a place in Montenegro, but I've also, because travel's so easy. I've been to in and out of Europe. I've been thinking about 48 different countries. So I've traveled a lot. So there's only a few countries in Europe, more of the Eastern and Northeast that I haven't been to yet. Pretty much all of Central and West part. I've been to all of them.
Quite the traveler. It's amazing.
Well, yeah, I love it. It's part of what I do, so I've made it into my job and my career because I love it. Just meeting so many people and realizing like there's so much that we can learn from other countries. And it's interesting because sometimes I go somewhere and I think like, why do they do this thing this way? Why don't they do it that way? Or I've done the opposite. One time I think I was in when I was living in Costa Rica, they had like Visa debit cards before we even had them in Canada. And I thought, they have this in Costa Rica. Why don't we have the option of having this in Canada? Why do you just have a bank card or you have to apply to get credit to have a credit card? Why isn't this an option there? And so it's been interesting to see that in some countries, we assume they're behind the Western, more developed countries. And in some ways, absolutely they are, but they also have ways in other areas where it seems like they are more advanced in certain things as well. So it's really interesting to see the differences. I love like different foods as well, and architecture is beautiful. And just partly too, because there's so much negative information on mainstream media about different countries. Like every country has their own propaganda. And I know some people listening will be like, North America doesn't have propaganda. Well, I'm sorry, yes, they do. Canada gets its own Canadian propaganda. The US, you know, we can look at places like, oh, China gets propaganda. Yes, they do. Russia, like everybody does. Every country is designed to
Absolutely.
have their people think that their country is the best.
Yeah, it's very true.
And
News is never neutral anyways. Information
No.
is never neutral anyways. It's
No.
always biased, and it's great to know that, right? And
Yeah,
to go
and part
see
of it's
somewhere else
awareness.
for yourself. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and so when I travel, I have met so many great people, so many nice people, so many helpful people. It's been so rare that I've come across anybody like truly mean, nasty. Like sometimes, you know, somebody will say a comment or whatever, and maybe they're having a bad day. We all do, or a bad moment, but not the way that that a lot of places are portrayed. You know, and in places like I've had gone people, and I haven't gone anywhere that I don't think is unsafe, but some lesser known places in Redwood, people are like, is it safe? Is it okay to go there? I'm like, yeah, like it is. It's the vast majority of places and countries are safe in the world. Of course, because but you have to be smart about it. I mean,
Absolutely.
there's areas in Canada where I wouldn't want to be by myself at 2 o'clock in the morning.
Nowhere is absolutely perfect and pristine and clean. Nowhere. It's literally the human experience. So even in the most badly, the places that have the worst reputation, even there you're gonna have beautiful places. And of course, it's literally the human experience. And I love that the work you do to raise awareness around this and to break the barriers to say, no, you can literally go anywhere. Just be smart. Don't be, hey, here are my credit cards. And, of course, I love that.
Exactly. And then so it's, when people aren't fully happy in their home countries and they feel stuck, it's for me, it's like you're not stuck. You can go almost anywhere. It might not be easy, it might be expensive, it might take time, like things aren't easy, but there's the option. And if you want to go, whether it's you are self-employed and you can go anywhere because you work remotely, or through your job you can work remotely. Or I was talking with a lady the other day who helps people who have jobs now, like who work for corporations, but can take those skills and work for other companies in other countries. So it's like finding your own job in another country without depending on your company to transfer you or something. So there are ways that everybody has skills. Like all the same skills are needed in all different countries,
Yeah,
whether you're
very true.
a teacher, healthcare, accountant, like those skills are needed everywhere. And I mean, we may not easily get to the country we want to. We may have to go through some, as you said, stepping stones to go to one country, get some international experience there, and then move around. But there's so many opportunities out there that no one is really truly stuck,
Yeah,
wherever they're at.
absolutely. But the thing is, when you don't like, you have to have a sort of awakening moment to say, I'm actually not a tree. I can actually move. This is doable. Like for us, before I even considered this career change, it was Paris, Paris, Paris because of the studies I'd done and all the big headquarters were in Paris. So if I wanted to keep having the same level of income, it was Paris. It was so, it felt so much harder to say, there are two of us. We both have careers we want to pursue. And if we relocate somewhere, one of us will, lead the movement and the other one will have to follow. But that feels so hard when you're in your day-to-day life, making do, not having any room to explore any options, and you feel like this is it, this is my life, but it's never the case, right? You can change just one little thing, and sometimes that change is just a perception. Just, oh, okay, something else is possible, or an actual step. But yeah, I remember that feeling of this is it, like we're here, and the only thing we can do is find another job close to this one, find a bigger place. But something this drastic, I could have never imagined it before, considering the career change. So, yeah.
Yeah, and sometimes, I mean, we do get stuck in situations too where, as you said, you're in your career and your family's there. And of course, family doesn't want us to move, like they and good friends. And
Yeah.
so it can be, it's not easy, and it can be a little bit scary because our brain automatically goes to the what if it doesn't work? What if
Absolutely.
I don't get a job, or what if I hate the job, or what if my boss is terrible, or what if we don't fit into the community, or we go all those negative what ifs.
Yeah.
But when we think about, if we kind of take some time to kind of step back from our life and think about, like, what is really important? What do I want? What will work for me and what's best for my family? Just as you did, and for you said, like, it wasn't working 10 hours a day and not seeing your kids very much. That wasn't what you wanted. So some change had to be done. And I'm sure that, I don't know for you, but with other people, when they make that change, even though you're not making as much money, you're happier because you find that you don't need as much, because
Yeah.
spending time with your kids, or whatever other people could be doing, hobbies and activities and things that they fulfill them and that they like. We don't need as much money because we think money makes us happy.
True.
But after a certain level of ability to pay bills, of course, and live,
Yeah.
We're not twice as happy as if we make twice as much money.
Yeah, but it's also a measure of safety and navigating
Yes.
the known rather than daring to step into the unknown. And
Right.
that's a feature of evolution. We like our species came until here because we looked at the negative what ifs. So they're so useful. But yeah, it's important to take a step back. And what I think is a shame is that those changes are often done. Well, it was the case for me, so let me not generalize to anyone, to everyone. But they come in pain, right? I had to kind of suffer through the juggling work and two kids and be super unhappy before I went to the point of I can't do this anymore. I just wished people would, and I try to like implement this in my life to what do I want now before I'm unhappy. I don't have to be unhappy before I make a change.
Right. It's right. It's unfortunate that general, and it is a generalization, as human beings, we have to get to that breaking point. Like, it's not great, I'm not really happy, but it's not that bad. I'm sure everybody listening at some point in life, whether it was a relationship, a job, needing something, we're like, yeah, I know, yeah, I will eventually. It's not that bad. Like, what is our that bad? Why do we wait until we get to that breaking point, or it is that bad that we just can't tolerate anymore?
And that's so
So.
sad because I was really close to burnout, and I know a lot of people who get to that point before saying, okay, this job is eating me alive. I can't take it anymore. Yeah, I just wish we acted proactively rather than waiting for the that bad to happen.
Right. And so hopefully with anybody who's listening, and they can see, like, there are, I don't even know the numbers, millions of people around the world who relocate for a variety of reasons, and they move abroad, whether it's a transfer or they want to, or lifestyle. And I always say the worst possible thing, you absolutely hate it. So, and to me, if you absolutely hate it, you probably haven't done some research and really kind of looked into it, which is what we should do before we move abroad to make sure we're going to the right place. But if you absolutely hate it, again, you can always change, right? We're not stuck. So for example, like, I've lived in four different countries, including Canada, where I was born. And yes, I've moved, but I haven't absolutely hated any of them. I was just ready for a new change, a new challenge, a new start. And I have, and I had left. I mean, the first one was leaving Canada. That was when I kind of got to close to that breaking point. Like, I did, I had enough, and I hated winter, and it was a number of things. But once I find too, once you do the first move, like anything, becomes easier, because the first time we're worried, we don't know what to expect. And we do have, I remember my friend saying to me, it's so great in a way that you're going. We're sad to see you go. I first moved to Costa Rica. But worst case scenario, if it doesn't work out, you come back home. And when they said that, though, I felt like I was stabbed in the stomach. I was like, oh, like, come
Why?
back. That's
You would
utter
think that's
failure. Like, I
liberating.
don't want to come back. Like, that is like, there's there that's not an option for me. But even though I knew in a way that I would still say to myself sometimes, I'd be like, yeah, a worst case scenario, I come back to Canada. People love, many people around the world would love to come live in Canada and things. So, and I still had my family and everybody here, but there was that part of me that was like, whoa, that's not an option. It's not a choice. Like, I am moving on. I am doing something different.
I am gonna make this work. This is my home now.
That's right. That's
It's
it.
my
Like,
ride or die.
and Costa Rica wasn't forever. I was there for 5 years. I loved it, but I just got bored because I went from a big city to a small town, and there wasn't really a lot going on. And I loved it for the time that I was there, but then I was ready for some more excitement and something new and different. And then I went to Barcelona. Which is quite different. And then I kind of have a bit of a where I need a balance where I love the city. I love being busy. I love having things to do and stuff going on and to be able to go out and meet people. But then I also like time away and I like a break and I like quiet and I like nature. And so in Montenegro, it's a very small country. Population's only around 650, maybe 680,000 for the entire country. And so it's nature and beautiful. So it's nice to kind of split my time a little bit back and forth. I'll go to one, and if I'm in Montenegro, then I'm getting bored. I need somewhere. So I'll go visit friends and be in Barcelona for a while. And then I'm like, oh my gosh, there's too many people because there's so many tourists and people. And I'm like, I need to get away. And so that works for me. And I do traveling in between. And I know it's not for everybody. And obviously not if you have kids that are going to school and things like that. So it's definitely different.
I love it because you sound so in touch with what your energy needs at a given point in time. And I love that you seem really in touch with, okay, now I'm bored. Okay, now I need something else. Okay, now I need stimulation. I really love that. And it's funny what you were saying about Montenegro because I get this feeling here in Ireland. It's a small country as well, not as small, but it's so peaceful. And for me, it's that. The thing that I love so much. You know, when I was studying, I spent 6 months in Madrid and then 6 months in Oslo in the winter. So when I arrived in Oslo, it was minus 25
Oh,
degrees
that's
Celsius.
cold.
I mean, you're Canadian, so it
Yeah,
must be
I know,
nothing
I
for you.
know. It
But for me, I was like, I want something very different from anything I've ever lived up until this point. So I'm going to go in January somewhere where it's very, very cold. And it was the same kind of feeling, like nature everywhere and people just being there, being kind, being available, but also keeping to themselves. And I felt so at peace. And when people would ask me, which one did you prefer? It was always Oslo because of this calm, this peace. That's what I'm really looking for in my life. So even if we live here and we go somewhere that's a little bit busier, I know that what I want is this kind of atmosphere because I mean, my mind is crazy enough. My mind is busy enough. So if my surroundings can bring some peace and quiet and calmness in all of that, I'm all for it.
Yeah, and I think, just in again, as another generalization, I think it's we all need that. All people need that. I mean, we have our personalities and the things that we like, but I think it's always good for everybody to have some quiet time. Like I always say, even no matter where I live, my home needs to be my sanctuary, where even if it's crazy outside, like city center, Barcelona, busy with millions of tourists. When I close my door to my home, wherever I am, that should be that kind of nice, calming space. But at a minimal, like I also love to get out and be in the mountains and hiking and nature and stuff. But I think it just really is good for the human body to have that as well.
Downtime, just time to regroup and just to get over the stimulation because we're so stimulated all the time, like so many solicitations from everywhere. So I agree. I love that idea, your home as a sanctuary, so you can bring your sanctuary anywhere with you.
That's right. That's right. So it's great. So now you're in Ireland and you're enjoying your time there while you're going to be there. And so are you working for yourself now? I know that you were studying. Are you done studying? Are you bringing on clients now, or where are you at with that stage?
Okay, so I'm still studying psychology, and in the meantime, I stumbled across personal development right when we arrived here. So 4 years ago, and I started doing all those exercises and workshops, and I was like, huh, some peace in my mind. That's also nice. I like that. And so I went on and got training to become a life coach. So I've been a life coach since January 2022. And I'm working for myself. And it's great because my kids are in school. I pick them up at 2:30 or 4. depending on the day, or five, depending on the day. And it's the perfect balance. And one thing also that was so painful for me was to say, I'm leaving them for 10 hours to do something that's not so meaningful. I feel like I'm underused, not in terms of intellect or cognitive abilities, but more in terms of, with coaching, I feel like I'm bringing everything that I am, all of my story, everything I've been through, is helping me help my client. And I feel like all of me is used, all of my talents are used. And I feel like when I'm away from my children, I could, now I'm at a point where I'm like, I could work 10 hours a day. I wouldn't mind. Because I found something that is so meaningful and that's changing people's life. So yeah, I feel like I've found my balance, but I also, they're still little and I still enjoy that time with them. So it's a good balance.
That's great. And you know, again, it comes back to for each person to find what they need. And it's fantastic that you found that balance. And you know, as they get older and they become more independent, that if you choose to work more, you can do that. You have the freedom to kind of live wherever you want with what you're doing. And obviously, you know, taking into consideration what your husband does as well, and finding that balance. And I always think too, like, nothing is forever, right? We go through so
Absolutely.
many stages of life, right? When we're younger and when we're in our 20s. And then for some of us who do have children, that's a full st even that there's stages within having children, because they go through the different stages. And then when they go off to college or university, or not, and they move abroad or whatever it is that they do, we always have so many stages of life, or I call them chapters. It's just another chapter in our book of life. And where we're at now isn't going to be forever, and we can change it. Or sometimes we just got to tough it out for a bit, depending upon what it is. And we may have to just tough that out for a while, but knowing that that
It
chapter
has an
will come to an
expiration
end.
date. Yeah, absolutely.
And we can start working on the next one, even though we're going through whatever it may be right now, that we can still do just little things, right? Just like, even they say, if you change just like by 1%. Just little things that you could do each day or each week, that when this chapter's over, the beginning of the next one can be a smooth transition.
Absolutely. I feel like that's the perfect antidote to, you know, the all or nothing thinking that we can sometimes fall into. Like, I remember when my son was born and he wasn't sleeping through the night. And I swear I had thoughts, this is my life now. I'm never going to sleep again. My life is over, you know? And then he was growing up and he was sleeping longer chunks of time. And I was like, oh. And even though people were telling me, it's okay, he's going to sleep someday, I was so tired and so caught in the moment. I was like, my life is over. I'm never sleeping again. This is it, you know? And I feel like that's also something that keeps people stuck sometimes. You feel like nothing is ever going to change, whereas that's the only certain thing in life. Everything is going to change. So if you change jobs now, or if you keep working in 2, 3 years, your kids are going to be more independent, as you were saying. So, you know, knowing that things will change, what will be your decision then? But we never, it's really hard when you're stuck in your, again, in your
It is.
day-to-day, to say things are going to change, like everything's going to change after a while.
And also though too, we have to put in some effort to make it change. Right? Like if we're stuck at a job that we don't like, and sometimes maybe, okay, we have to, our kids are young, we're going through that, but we can start to do little things, you know, to maybe learn a new skill, or if you want to start your own business, to just take a course. There's so much free information online that we can start doing those little things, even half an hour or an hour out of a day. Everybody's got 30 minutes. Everybody has 30 minutes that they can find, or, and it could be just getting up a little bit earlier or with the kids when they go to bed, and it could be reading part of a book. And maybe that book helps you learn something, motivates, whatever it may be. But we all have 30 minutes for sure. I say an easy way for people to find that 30 minutes is to just unplug the TV and turn off the phone. It's not a
I
power
know.
button. Use those power buttons.
So true. But the thing is also that it's again, that's this all or nothing thinking. I know if I have like on my way to go get my children, there's my gym. So sometimes I'll go in there for just 20 minutes or 30 minutes. And I know to some people it looks ridiculous, but I don't care because at the end of the week, I have my 2, 3, 4 hours. And we overlook that. It's like, yeah, it's just 20 minutes. It's not just 20 minutes because imagine what it will be at the end of the
Compounds
year,
over time. Yes.
right? Yeah.
Absolutely.
Just 30 minutes.
It makes a difference. It adds up. It
Yeah.
definitely adds up.
It
So,
does, absolutely.
Ruth, if people wanted to get in touch with you or if they wanted to work with you, what's the best way
Yeah.
for them to reach you?
So there's my website, so ruthmanu.com. I'm also active on Instagram. I have my French Instagram, which is ruthmanu.lesjongleuses. It means the jugglers. And I also have my Instagram in English, which is ruthmanu point life coaching. That those are the best ways.
Perfect. And we'll make sure to put links in the show notes for everybody so they can connect easily. So I just
Absolutely.
want to say thank you very much for your time today, Ruth. Really appreciated it. And I'm sure the listeners got some valuable information from our conversation today.
Thank you so much, Sally, for having me. I had a great time with you.